Seth Nave, Extension Soybean Agronomist at the University of Minnesota.
Seth, with so much attention being given to getting the 2018 corn crop planted, what does this delayed start to spring mean for soybeans in not only Minnesota, but other parts of the upper Midwest where planting has been delayed by that cold April with snow and now rains in May?
Well, you know, obviously the attention should be focused on the corn. The soybeans are definitely secondary. Yield losses are not nearly as great in soybean, but it's going to start here. So we're right at that cusp where we need to get in and get soybeans planted as soon as we can. And, you know, we haven't had big losses yet, but depending on how the year shakes out, it's, you know, we're starting down that curve.
Corn farmers are beginning to look at shorter season maturities. How about with the varieties of soybeans that have been selected in some cases from many months back, those were chosen? Any reason to reevaluate those purchases at this point?
No, and you know, my traditional suggestion to farmers is just to hold varieties all the way out to June 10th. There's multiple reasons. Like, the most important one you hit on really is that, you know, farmers spend a lot of time selecting the best varieties, and those were really pushed, you know, a lot of farmers really worked hard to get some of the newest, best genetics out there and worked hard to choose the best lines. And as far as I can tell, those, anytime a farmer is going to trade those in, they're not going to end up with something with as high a yield potential. So since soybeans have such a great flexibility in terms of maturity, we want to hold those varieties as long as we can. Plus, we know as soon as a farmer trades those in, that they're trading down in terms of their yield potential. So that's an additional hit they're going to take. So besides shorter maturities and lower yield potentials, they take a hit on the overall yield potential of choosing a variety that just isn't as good.
You could call it a comfort zone practices that farmers typically employ year in and year out, but as you look at the calendar and you realize that you may not be able to do everything that you wanted to do this spring. I see in this article that was published this week that you wrote, talking about maybe direct seeding soybeans as opposed to running the cultivator first. Obviously, you want to be careful about compaction. You got to wait until that soil is right, conditions are fit. But what are your thoughts on farmers maybe getting away from what they normally do just because of the shortened season?
Well, you know, again, this is another example of me kind of going away with some of my traditional, you know, conventional talking points, because I usually really push and stress that farmers just do exactly like they've done. Use their best management practices. Even if we get delayed, there's no reason to make big shifts in equipment. Don't move to drills or higher seeding rates. I don't think farmers should be making a lot of those things based on the planting date. But when I look at the weather forecast and I see these little gaps in the weather, I can see fields out there that look like they could be planted on top. They've grayed off and they look good on top, but maybe it's a little sticky underneath that they probably couldn't get in with a field cultivator today, but maybe they could plant those on top. Those are fields I would go in and plant. I was out yesterday and I saw some beautiful fields that looked like a farmer had gone in and no-tilled some corn, you know, several hundred acres I could see on both sides of the road were no-tilled into soybean stubble. And, you know, it made me think that guy probably was on to something. Those are fields that probably weren't able to get in and get really, really do a good job of getting those field cultivated and in good condition, but they were able to get those at some point in the past few days. They were able to get their corn planted on top, and they probably are going to come out okay on those fields because they had good conditions. So it's really a field by field, farmer by farmer, soil by soil, you know, even hour by hour kind of a thing. If farmers have fields that are level enough that they can get in, it may be a good time to get in and just put those beans in and then come over over the top and do a pre-emergent herbicide after they plant.
And I was just about to ask about weed control. You know, managing weeds in soybeans is very dynamic. And when you think about what has transpired this spring, what are some of the dynamics for farmers as they try to control these weeds that are maybe going to emerge later than normal? It kind of throws off that whole strategy, I would think.
Yeah, well, you got it. It's dynamic. You used the right word for it, and I guess that's part of the whole education that we've been working with farmers and being able to be flexible and having the skills to go out there and treat things as they come rather than just, you know, ordering everything in the fall and being so rigid that they have a set program that they have to stick to. Again, I think best management practices should be where we start, but then, you know, we need to be able to get in there and know what weed species we're going to have. And those fields that don't get that second field cultivation late, they're going to have, you know, the weeds are going to be a little bit up on them on some of those fields. So you're going to get a different spectrum of weeds in those. So knowing what you've got in these fields and knowing the timing is going to be really critical. So I think it's, I can't make a lot of recommendations because it's going to be really field by field for folks.
Coming back to yield potential, you touched on it before, but as far as that window for maximum or optimum yields for soybeans in Minnesota, what does that time frame look like, Seth?
Well, I mean, realistically, I have to say that in terms of maximum yield potential on soybeans, we're beyond that. But we're still in that, we can still get out there and get very, very high yields in that 90-95% yield range, you know, today. But we're not, as we move forward, we're moving down that slope. And that slope is pretty flat around, you know, around May 1, things are pretty flat on either side of that for a couple weeks. But once we get out to this middle of May period, things are sliding. So we're losing less than half a bushel a day, but by the time we get out towards the end of June, then we're going to be close to that 1 bushel a day, or 1% per day. 1% per day, half a percent of our yield per day. So, you know, we're 6/10 of a bushel or so going forward, but now we're maybe 3/10, less than a half a bushel per day right now. So it's the further out we go, it just starts to slip faster and faster.
And as we go further out, do you anticipate many would-be corn acres being switched to soybeans? Given that we've already kind of eclipsed that time frame for maximum soybean yields, maybe it's a moot point.
Well, I think the corn's the focus, and I think we gotta continue to focus on maximizing corn. And when, you know, again, based on what's been invested for fertilizer and things like that, those producers have to really think about whether they're going to make that switch to soybeans. I don't think just because we've got a little bit of a tick down in our yield potential on soybeans, I don't think that should be the thing that focuses our attention. I think it should be on corn as long as we can, and then move into soybeans. And that's going to be in some very specific areas where those guys haven't been able to turn a wheel yet. They're the ones that are going to be thinking about moving some. A lot of areas have been able to get into fields here and there and get some corn planted. So I'm hopeful that we don't have to move too much into the soybeans, just not what we want to see.
And if this wet pattern does continue and we see soybeans planted, I hear a lot of people say, you maybe even said this to me before, that soybeans don't like to get their feet wet. And so that would be a concern too, looking at emergence issues.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I tend to think about that as after planting. So, you know, we're looking at late May, early June time frame for that kind of those conditions. So I don't, you know, our soybeans are pretty used to being pretty wet early on and, you know, during after planting and early emergence. I'm really more concerned in that early stages, that June period. If we'd have a long continued rain into that period, then things would be different. But I don't think we can look out that far yet into the weather, so I'm not concerned about that from that standpoint. I'm just getting these things in the ground. We've got good warm soil, so get them in, and they're going to pop really quickly. And I think farmers need to. That's one last kind of reminder, is that these soybeans aren't going to take 3 weeks to come out of the ground like they normally do when we get in, you know, the first week of May. So they're going to pop quick, and we're going to have, you know, hopefully things will turn around and we'll have a nice, healthy crop out there.
Well, and to piggyback off of that, then, how does that change potential weed management decisions, like getting a pre-emerge on, things like that. And as farmers are still trying to get all of their acres planted and they're thinking about spraying too, I mean, it's just going to be a chaotic few weeks, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's all happening at once. It's not going to follow the same order, and so that's why I think getting things kind of mapped out and in our, you know, the human resources, where these farms are down on numbers of you know, operators, and so you've got very specialized tasks for everybody, and we might have to be shifting some people around to get some of those acres sprayed, and so it is going to be a challenge. And it's going to be a little bit of juggling here, especially you know, especially if we have to move some corn acres over to soybeans, because then that really changes all the dynamics out there.
Any other considerations you want to make sure we touch on today, Seth?
I guess just farmers just need to use obviously every opportunity they have to get in and get some stuff planted, but you know, they need to be careful and still take their time and do a good job. It's critically important that they don't just mud everything in everywhere, and that we get these things off to a decent start. It doesn't do us any good to do a bad job of planting. We still have to do a good job, or as good as we can do based on the conditions. So it's still critically important to do a good job of planting. We just have to do the best we can.